What is up, Vermont Edition podcast listener? This is Elodie Reed, digital producer for VPR. Just to let you know, this podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. A year ago, as the pandemic hit Vermont with full force, many people who were able to work had to transition to working from home. In some cases, this transition went smoothly. In other cases, it was very difficult for a variety of reasons, including a lack of high-speed internet service. Well, now as the state is approaching normalcy, with 80% of eligible people having had at least one vaccine, or at least we're very close to that, many employers and their employees are looking at ways to allow more people to continue to work at home if they want to. And they're also looking at a hybrid schedule that would permit an employee to work from home several days a week. Today, we're going to look at this issue that affects both the private and the public sector. With us today are Richard Watts, the director of the Center for Research on Vermont. Hey, Richard, great to have you on the program.
Thanks, Bob. Great to be here.
And also with us, Beth Fastigi, who is the Human Resources Commissioner for the state of Vermont. Beth, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. Great to be here today.
Richard, let's start with you and your survey of individuals in Vermont and the whole issue of teleworking. One of the great things about the survey is that you had a base foundation of answers that were pre-pandemic, and then you went back into the field at the beginning of this month. So let's go back to your initial survey results, remembering this is pre-pandemic. 70% of those people responding said they didn't work at all from home, and now 75% said they expect to work at home more in the future. It seems like the pandemic has just totally changed people's views on telework. What do you think?
I think that telework or telecommuting is here to stay, and that is clearly one outcome of this pandemic. People have learned that they actually enjoy working at home. You know, this is a particular kind of employee, of course, that has this ability. People have learned that they enjoy it, and employers have learned that it works. People are productive. And I think that this is here to stay.
So why do you think it's happening, Richard? Is it an opportunity that employers could see that it was going to work out with their employees when previously they might have been a little skeptical?
I think absolutely. There has been skepticism that working at home, that people are productive, and we've proven that. In fact, there is one downside to this, is that people need to keep thinking about their work-life balance, and people working at home sometimes work more hours. So in some cases, productivity is up. I also think that for a lot of people in our survey, the idea of going to a central workplace and then opening up your computer and doing the same things that you actually can do at home quite well just doesn't make sense. So you avoid that commute. You get to walk outside into your garden. There's a chance to be more with family, with your pets, you know, in and around your house. It's just so many people in this survey said that they really have appreciated being at home. And in some cases, they're really resistant to the idea of going back to a central workplace. And so I think employers are really going to have to think about how to accommodate this new normal.
Richard, you mentioned that work-life balance. I got to believe for some people that was a real challenge to feel like, okay, I'm working at home and here are the hours that I'm working at home, and that your work-life balance didn't get completely out of balance.
Yeah, especially true for younger workers, apparently. And going forward, I think that's something that people have to think about. There's got to be some boundaries. You know, in this digital age, email is 24 hours, and just when are the times that you're working and when are the times that you're not. But on the flip to that, people talked about that whole crisis of getting kids out the door, or all the things they had to do to rush to get to work at a certain time, and all those stresses went away. So there's there's going to be some negotiation with workplaces, and there's going to be probably some sort of hybrid that emerges, the 2 to 3 day thing. That's what we're starting to see around the country. But clearly there is some large percent of people who can work from home who are going to want to keep on doing it.
Beth, let's go back to Governor Scott's stay home, stay safe order in March of 2020. Can you give us a rough estimate of what percentage of state employees switched to teleworking after that order was put into place?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So in the stay home, stay safe order, you know, vast majority of employees, you know, with really no notice, kind of packed up and went home and started working remotely. And many of them, 65% of them, had never worked remotely before. You do have to remember that, of course, there's a lot of folks that work for the state of Vermont that are, due to the nature of their jobs, they would never have the ability to work remotely. So people who are protecting the most vulnerable, for example, like corrections workers and, you know, folks who maintain the roads and maintain our buildings, those folks, of course, never would have the opportunity to work remotely because their jobs require their on-site presence. But there's a lot of folks that are do administrative type work, and that type of work does lend itself to a remote work as long as you have the right tools. So I think at first it was definitely making sure everyone had the right tools in place. Not everybody had laptop computers, so getting some laptops for people who didn't have them was important in the beginning, and just learning, supervisors and employees alike, learning how to work together remotely was very important.
Would it be fair to say that before the pandemic that the state might not have been all that enthusiastic about having employees work at home, but the experience of the last year has shown that in some cases, or in many cases, it can work out pretty well?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, we did a survey as well. We did a survey of all our executive branch employees in the December timeframe. It was about 8,000 employees that were surveyed, and we had a really good response rate. And we asked questions about productivity from both employees and managers and supervisors, because that's really important to us. Are we able to continue to provide the same type of quality service to Vermonters that we were providing before the pandemic and during the pandemic? And then it's also important for us, of course, to figure out how we're going to continue any productivity gains we've had and also continue to improve that. So that's what we're always looking at, continuing to improve the way we serve Vermonters. But employees themselves felt as a whole that they were more productive when working remotely, and managers and supervisors overall agreed that employees were productive. So 90.5% of employees said they were equally or more productive in working at home. And also with they were productive. And then with and 61% did feel like they were more productive, and 31% are neutral about it, with only a small number feeling that they were less productive. So, and also we asked managers and supervisors how they felt that their employees were doing, and 82% of managers and supervisors felt their staff were able to perform the jobs effectively remotely. So we asked those questions, and we had very positive responses. So that really bodes well for, you know, the opportunity for people to telework going forward once it becomes the new normal. We had a telework policy in the past where employees did have the opportunity to request to work remotely, but it wasn't used as widely as we expect it to be used once we get back to normal.
Let's go to our callers. We have a number of people who would love to talk to us about this subject today. Let's start with Bob in Rutland. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program. Bob, are you there? All right, we're going to see if we can come back to Bob and first talk to Joe in South Hero. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program. Well, we're having a few technical difficulties getting some of our listeners on the line, and we'll take care of that in just a moment. Richard, let me go back to people working at home and your survey results, which are really interesting. You know, I imagine for a lot of people in the last 14 months, we've all done more Zoom meetings than we ever hoped to do in a lifetime. But at the same time, has this technology showed us that in some cases we can bring people together from distant places and have a reasonable outcome when previously that technology was not used very much?
Absolutely. I mean, that's clearly what's one of the outcomes of all of this. So almost exactly a year ago, I asked people who had just gone into the work from home mode at the beginning of the pandemic in March, how many of them thought they would go back to working in the office. And at that time, 55% thought that they would keep telecommuting. That number in this most recent survey has grown to 75%. So over the course of a year, a larger number of people have experienced working at home. Again, this is just within this slice, and have decided that they like it. So they are able to accommodate the Zoom meetings and all the other ways that we are productive, but there's a whole lot of time in the day that they're not commuting, that they're enjoying being at home, that they're feeling they can get more done, that they're in a space that they like. And although we're probably going to talk about broadband issues, again, in this, there are many parts of the state that actually do have adequate broadband, and those are the people here who are responding that it's just working fine for them in their present offices at home.
Let's see if we can get Bob from Rutland back on the line. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Well, good afternoon. I wanted to ask your guest, of course, after production, after so many hours goes down, doesn't leave this ripe for abuse of both state and national labor laws?
Beth, what about that?
I'm trying to understand the question. So is the caller saying that people are working more, too many hours?
Is that what you're thinking about, Bob?
There could be. Could be, yeah.
I mean, obviously, we want to make sure that we're in compliance with any labor laws. You know, some people are on salary and are not paid hourly, and they're going to be, you know, they typically would tend to work more hours than or less or fewer hours. You know, when someone's on salary, they're not really tracking their time. But for hourly workers, which are most of the workers in the state of Vermont, if they are working more hours, and overtime is required or comp time. I mean, we provide that as well. So we do have to watch that. I mean, it's a little harder when you're not seeing people in their seats every day, but we have a lot of really good tools to be able to tell when people are working and when they're not working. And that is also it's been a very stressful time and a very stressful year, not just for state employees, but for workers and everybody across the state of Vermont. So we have been really focused on people's mental health and really hoping and trying to encourage people to take breaks when they can and try to take advantage of the wellness and mental health services that we offer employees.
And let's talk to Joe in South Hero. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program.
Thank you. My concern is if a job can be telecommuted, it can be exported to other states or other countries.
Joe, that's a very good point. Richard, did that come up in your survey? I mean, if you can telecommute, telework, you could be in Brattleboro or you could be in Boston.
Well, you know, that's an enormous issue that we're all going to have to wrestle with. I'm focused here on the people who have jobs in Vermont right now. You know, they might work at the state or university or a small private employer. So they already have their job, and they've been testing telecommuting, and they're liking it, and they want to keep doing it. And I'm also focused on that they're going to have to negotiate with their workplaces about what that's going to look like going forward. And some third of them said that there is no telecommuting policy. So we're going to see that play out over, you know, the next 3-6 months. The bigger question that Joe is getting at is what they call the untethered worker. How many people are going to take advantage of this moment to take that job in Colorado and stay in Vermont or vice versa? And that's a whole nother issue that's sort of sweeping through society here. We know that from the other end of people who might have a job in Manhattan but have moved to Vermont to do it, and that's going to have all sorts of other impacts. But right now, what we're thinking about and talking about are people who already have jobs in Vermont and how much of their time they're going to spend doing those jobs from their home versus driving or cycling or however they get there to a central workplace.
And as you were saying, Richard, this really cuts both ways. It's one thing for a worker to be in Boston and then teleworking to Vermont, but it also offers the opportunity for someone to be in Vermont teleworking for, as you mentioned, a company in Colorado. So it really goes both ways.
Exactly. In Massachusetts, interesting to see what Beth thinks about this, but I understand that Massachusetts has said that state employees in Massachusetts may not have to live in Massachusetts. So there's that untethered worker that works for a state government that may be in some other state.
Beth, what about that? Does Vermont have some rules or regulations about this for state employees?
We actually don't have a residency requirement for state employees. In fact, we actually draw employees, especially in our border areas, from New Hampshire and New York and Massachusetts that commute to Vermont. In some cases, those folks may have been working at home, but in some cases as well, they've still had to continue to report for work. So if you think of like somebody maybe working in the Plattsburgh area, coming across the lake to work in the corrections facility up in the St. Albans area. So it does work both ways. It actually, not just for the state of Vermont, but it could open up opportunities. You know, if we have a really difficult time attracting employees, it does open up the world for us a little bit more to be able to have a remote worker potentially in a really difficult, hard-to-find job. I mean, in particular, we much rather employ Vermonters to serve Vermonters, but it just with the technology available, it does kind of open that up a little bit more. I think that what it really lends itself to is employers really need to think about local employees have options to work where they're working now, but they also have options now to stay where they are in Vermont but work worldwide. So we need to be really thoughtful and careful about how we can motivate employees to stay working for us, for Vermont employers. And one of the things that the employees have really learned is that they can work successfully remotely, and I think that employees are really going to be expecting that. And you saw the results in that in the UVM survey that employees are really looking for that. So employers are going to need to figure out how to be more flexible and how to work that hybrid model. And as Richard said, it's been remote or in the office. That hybrid's kind of a different story altogether, where you have some people perhaps working remotely some days, others coming into the office other days. So it's how to do that remotely and cover all the work you need to do is another logistical challenge that we're going to need to work through. And that's one of the things that we're going to be doing as agencies and managers and departments, figuring out what that would look like going forward. And how much remote work will be, how much remote work we'll be able to do going forward as we open things more back up to the public.
Beth, I wanted to pick up on a thread that you were mentioning just before we went to break. What is the state of Vermont doing right now? Are you doing a survey of the various departments and agencies to determine which positions might be a good idea to work teleworking and which ones might not?
I wouldn't say that it's a survey. I think it's more trying to use the time this summer to envision what our organizations are going to look like going forward and how we're going to best serve Vermonters going forward. We've learned a lot during the pandemic. We've learned a lot about technology and how to use it. Many things that Vermonters couldn't do online before, they can do online. So you can make your appointment with the Department of Motor Vehicles online now, and there's also a lot of services that you don't have to go into the Department of Motor Vehicles for. So how do we keep the kind of the productivity and the service improvements we've made and transitioning to making more services available, so perhaps being able to do some walk-ins at the Department of Motor Vehicles. I'm not planning on that. Of course, the Department of Motor Vehicles, Agency of Transportation are looking at that. So how do we do that in the long term, and how do we best serve Vermonters in the long term, yet enabling employees to enjoy some of the flexibility and efficiencies that they've gained by working remotely?
Right now, we're going to turn to Stephanie Lascalzo, who has some experience with teleworking. Stephanie, thanks for being on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So tell us your story. How did you find yourself teleworking as this pandemic hit? And what kind of experience has it been for you? And tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, sure. So when the pandemic hit, I was actually working for the University of Vermont. And I was at the time also serving on staff council. And we had been doing some work actually around a telecommuting proposal, something that we wanted to give to administration around making telecommuting accessible to staff, since it was just something that was a policy that was out there, but just wasn't one that was maybe more widespread and understood throughout campus. And then once the pandemic hit, I did go fully remote, which I was able to do successfully, luckily with the support from my dean and office mates, and coming up with unique ways of making sure that we were still staying in touch with students. And then I ended up transitioning to a position at VSECU as a learning and development specialist. So I don't work currently member-facing. I more support staff. And we've been able, and ever since I started this position, I've been able to work as a telecommuter and have really, really enjoyed it, and has actually made the position for me more accessible. Because I had actually, while at UVM, looked at this position and had asked even before the pandemic if they were open to telecommuting, and they mentioned that they were, and that was something that they were exploring. And then, of course, with the pandemic, they had to pivot in a lot of ways to make sure that folks were, you know, safe both at a staff level and as well as a member level.
Stephanie, we've heard some concerns today about this work-life balance. Did you have any problems with that?
Yeah, it was definitely something that I had to adjust to a little bit more, where I was feeling a lot more of the pressure of being home and really wanting to make sure that folks knew that I was working when we were saying that we were working, just because it was such a unique and different experience. I had never teleworked before. But I would actually say that once I got into a rhythm, I really have found that I've had a better work-life balance, at least for me personally, and I recognize how lucky I am. We were able to welcome our first child actually during the pandemic, and I feel like I've gotten way more time with him, both in the mornings and the evenings before and after care, because I'm not spending so much time commuting. And so I've really appreciated that aspect and feel like that has really afforded me more time with my son that I know from friends who had other experiences before, especially before the pandemic, and having the ability to telecommute, were just feeling like they didn't get as much family time as they would have liked.
Well, congratulations on your family. As you look back on your experience, any downsides to teleworking that you'd like to see addressed in the future?
That's a great question. I definitely have missed the interactions with people as much as I used to have. I'm very much an extrovert and very much enjoy working with people. And so I really appreciate the idea of a hybrid model, which I think has also been mentioned today, where, you know, I think there are times where you can be very intentional coming into an office or going into a space of work where you can work with folks or serve customers, members, whoever it is, as well as then also having that project time or that space to be able to go back and do work without interruption. So I guess if anything, I would say that I definitely have missed the people aspect of really being able to interact, but I've also found that doing it virtually has been a unique and an experience that I've been really enjoying and learning a lot more about.
Stephanie Lascalzo, many thanks for talking to us today about your experience. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Richard, you know, we're hearing through your survey, through Beth's talking about the state of Vermont, there certainly are a lot of employers who have an interest in teleworking and think that there's some sort of hybrid model that might work out in the future. I'm wondering if we can sort of take a view from 50,000 feet and see what the big implications of this change might be. For instance, what about transportation, cars on the road? Are we going to see an impact if a lot of people are not commuting anymore?
Absolutely. You know, during the pandemic, we've actually seen sharp drops in traffic for a variety of reasons, but one clearly is people not driving to work. So the impact on the environment is very positive. And I would love to see more investments in helping people figure out how to make this work. And that might defray additional costs in new roadway capacity or road infrastructure. And it might help solve some of our infrastructure needs. And it certainly addresses the greenhouse gas emissions issues, because some 40%+ of Vermont's greenhouse gas emissions come from the transportation sector. So lots of positives there. And I do think that Stephanie's story is really illustrative of one thing that's happened. Employees have been asking for a while for increased telecommuting possibilities, and employers have been resistant. And what the pandemic has shown is that if you trust people, it really works. And people not only are as productive, but they're possibly more productive working at home. And the last thing, just to underscore the point that Stephanie made about hybrid, in this survey that we just did, a plurality of people, some 50%+, said that they would like to work in the office maybe 2 days a week, maybe 3 days a week. So it's not an absolute thing here. And I do think that the offices are going to have to think a little bit, not just about telecommuting policies, but also what the office looks like, because it's going to be possibly a little bit more of a space where people are doing the meetings and the face-to-face stuff, and a little bit less of coming and plugging in your computer. And we know that a number of offices around the country, and this is happening in Vermont, workplaces might be downsizing a little bit, might be not expanding because of this increased commitment by their workers to spend more time at home.
And Beth, if more and more state employees transition to either a hybrid system or a complete system of working at home, which it sounds like a number of them are interested in doing that, what do those changes mean for the state of Vermont? We had an email come in asking about, what about all these state buildings that are everywhere? I mean, you look at Montpelier, Burlington, Brattleboro, lots of other places. Is there a long-range impact here?
I would say there could be a long-range impact. I mean, in the short term, as I said, we're planning on what's happening there. But if in the long term we are able to reduce some of our footprint, we probably would. I mean, we are definitely interested in providing value to taxpayers, and to the extent that our buildings and property costs have an impact there. I have seen in other states where that some states are really trying to use that as a way to reduce their footprint, especially in big cities, because office space is so expensive in major urban areas. Since we're not really in major urban areas, it's not as much of an issue for us at the state of Vermont, and we still need to have those regional hubs to serve Vermonters in those hubs. So we still need to have a presence in those communities. It just may be reduced a little bit, or space could be used a little better.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Sharon, who is calling from Brattleboro. Hi, Sharon. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. What's on your mind today?
Well, they're talking about, and although I enjoy working from home and I appreciate it, no one's really mentioned yet the cost to the employee from working from home. You know, some people earn lesser wage, and the cost associated with working from home takes a big impact as well. And it seems like there might be a cost savings to employers for not running a building or things like that, or the electricity. But who offsets the cost to the employee?
Sharon, that is a great question. Richard, what about that? How are different businesses handling that? You've got the costs of internet service. You've got to make sure that people have a computer system that can handle the interactions with their home office. How are different businesses handling those additional costs that Sharon talked about?
I think that it's a mixed bag. And Sharon is absolutely right. Some employers have put these costs on the employees, and something has to be done about it. In our survey, we asked what employers had done, and 32% or a third said the employer had done nothing. Some said that they did provide work from home support, like investment in the equipment that they might need, or actually even paying for their broadband service, or buying them a chair that provides more lumbar support. So I think those are really important issues that employees and employers are going to have to negotiate, and employers are going to have to make some steps in this direction, because employees are going to ask for it. And to hold on to the workforce they have and to attract new workers, there's just going to have to be robust policies around some of these issues.
And Beth, along those same lines, when you had your survey in December, people were asked what support they needed the most in order to meet their teleworking needs. And 33% listed technological assistance. What is the state doing for those employees who are working at home? Are you providing that technical assistance? Are you subsidizing internet? How is the state dealing with this?
Yeah, so that's a great question. We, in our survey, we asked for comments and themes of comments, and the top comment people asked about, you know, people did mention the work environment. So they, from good and bad, home good and bad, so they talked about open office distractions. You know, they don't have those in the home office. They have a quiet atmosphere to work at home. They can concentrate better at home. All those things were available for them at home. But they felt like also they lost some connectedness. So when we looked at an office allowance, that did come up a little bit, but it really wasn't the top. It came up a few. That was below percent of the respondents mentioned that, under 5% as an issue. But as far as technology goes, I think a lot of it is, you know, there are the issues where people who didn't have adequate home internet service or other things. If that was the case, employees were able to return to the work site if for some reason their home office environment was not suitable for remote work. They could come into the office, and that option's been available really since last fall. Beginning in April, we basically opened it up to be voluntary. So even if you had a good home office environment, but you still just wanted to come into the office, employees are now able to do that. So we welcomed them back to the office because, and under our policy, remote work is typically voluntary. We're not working under the policy now, but it is voluntary, and it's meant as something that employees, if it works for them, can take advantage of. So I think that's something that employees also have to weigh is, you know, do I already have internet service, or maybe it cost me $5 a month to upgrade to a faster speed? And is it worth it for me to have pay for a little faster internet speed, but then reduce my commute by 2 to 3 days a week, thus saving that gas? So I think it is a balance, and it's a balance for individuals. I think in a lot of it, if you had a long commute before, you're likely saving money by working remotely.
Right now, we're going to talk to Dan Currier, who is the manager of Go Vermont, a group that focuses on many transportation issues, encouraging carpooling, promoting the use of public transportation. Dan, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bob, for having me today.
Dan, not only did the pandemic result in you teleworking, it sort of changed the focus of your department in many ways. So tell us about that.
Absolutely, Bob. So Go Vermont, you know, we're out to provide the resources for Vermonters for mobility, for commuting, you know, whether it's, you know, finding bus routes, schedules, carpooling, setting up van pools, right? That mobility resource for Vermonters. You know, the pandemic kind of brought to us, you know, a change in our messaging, right? We, you know, no longer really wanted to say, oh, go get on the bus. It was no longer really encouraged. And so we were doing a lot of, you know, internal discussion and said, how can we be relevant during the pandemic? And of course, you know, telecommuting resources for that kind of rose to the surface, you know, and so where carpooling and buses were discouraged. And so
And that made a big difference to, for you to then focus on teleworking and seeing how businesses might respond to that.
Yeah, and so, you know, teleworking for us has always been, you know, a resource guide that we offered. And so, but GoVermont works with a number of partners across the state. There's two transportation management associations in Vermont, both in the Upper Valley and in Chittenden County. And they really came together, you know, with GoVermont to, you know, sort of like try to meet people where they were. And so employers and employees now working from home didn't really understand or didn't really know how best to do, like, say, all the new video conferencing. And so we were really trying to provide, you know, in the moment, the resources that were needed. And so, and then, you know, what that kind of grew into is, you know, more enhanced, you know, can we make some of these, you know, folks that are teleworking, can we have that be a permanent scenario for these employees? And so, and really develop resources, policies, and guidance, you know, through GoVermont as well as the TMAs to say, great, you want to continue doing this? Here, follow this guideline.
Do you have the sense that teleworking is here to stay?
I think, you know, the hybrid model that we have talked about today, Bob, really is, you know, a lot of what I'm hearing, you know, just like Richard and Beth shared. We really feel like there's going to be a mix of, you know, some people will definitely want to go into the office, and we hope that they'll go to GoVermont and, you know, take a look at their commute, you know, now that they've been working from home, perhaps, and see if there's a bus or a carpool or a vanpool that's right for them. But also, you know, if teleworking, you know, has been successful, you know, can that be, you know, formalized a policy with inside that employer, you know, to actually, you know, create the right policy and the right framework to be successful into the future.
Dan Currier, manager of GoVermont, many thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you, Bob. Happy to be speaking to you today.
Richard, before we end the program, I wanted to ask you sort of in that big picture category, if more and more people telework and do not commute to their businesses, what does that mean for the businesses of those downtown areas that provide services and lunches and all those sorts of things to these workers? Is there an economic loss here?
I think there's a couple of huge societal impacts that we have to really be cognizant of. And I appreciate that GoVermont is out there trying to provide alternatives for people to get around, because there's going to be some bounce back. Some people are going to be required to go back to their offices. And we have to be really cognizant of the types of workers who don't have these choices. And is it the lowest paid workers in the offices that are required to go back, or is there some equity issues here that we really need to consider? And then to your point about where does the consumers, what do we turn to? So it's possible that people who are living in their communities now more spend more of their dollars in their community rather than in that central location where the office was located. And these are just big trends that are going to play out, because telecommuting in some form or other is here to stay. There's just no question about it.
And Beth, do you think that what we're going to see going forward, we've been talking about the hybrid model a lot today, do you see that as sort of the path that a number of state employees are going to want to take in the future?
I do. I think that, we've learned how to be very productive with all the technology tools that we have working remotely, but I know in my case, I certainly do miss, while it's fun to see people on the video screens, I do miss seeing my team in person, and I'm looking forward to be able to do that, more come the fall. And, you know, that interpersonal connectedness and what you can gain by that collaboration together is really important for a cohesive team, I think.
Let's see if we can get a very quick call in from Darlene in Brattleboro. Hi, Darlene. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Can you hear me okay and everything?
We can, and we're almost out of time, so if you could be brief, okay, that would be great.
Yes. I just wanted to lend a positive note. It's a little different, but I run a Cedar Adventure, which is a program for people with developmental and physical challenges. And we went remote. We only missed one day in because of the pandemic. We went remote, and it's been a great connecting tool for people with developmental challenges to be able to stay connected through this isolated period. We actually perform 3 shows online. We figured out all the technology.
That's and, great.
So I just want to, we're going to go hybrid and kind of hang on to the goodness of it all as we move forward.
Darlene, thank you very much for sharing your experience with us. We really appreciate it. It's certainly going to be fascinating to see how things unfold with teleworking in the next 6 months to a year. And let's revisit this issue at that time. Many thanks to our guest today, Beth Vestigi, who is the Human Resources Commissioner for the state of Vermont, and Richard Watts, Director of the Center for Research on Vermont. Richard and Beth, many thanks for being on the program today.
Thanks, Bob.